Lord and Heavenly Father, as we come to this topic of prayer, we praise you for the privilege of prayer. We give you thanks that we can communicate with you, the Creator of the universe. Thank you that you listen to us. Help us to work at becoming more consistent in the spiritual discipline of prayer. Well, amen. My second half of the week's been pretty complicated. I had all these plans, you see. First half was pretty busy, but then second half, I actually had to go to parks on Thursday afternoon in central New South Wales. The reason was I had to take a funeral on Friday morning for a lady called Julia. Julia used to attend our church at West Ryde with her husband, Peter. And Peter asked me to do the funeral. She was only 59 and she died of cancer. But she attended our home group and she was also a member of our church, but she also worked in the office at West Ryde. So I went and did her funeral. But I had to travel through Goulburn and Yass up to Parkes, and then on Friday morning did the funeral, and then Friday lunchtime was there at the after-funeral function, and then drove back. But we had something on in Sydney on Friday night, so I met Marge in Sydney, and we went to a function there. And then I sort of went to sleep as we got back really late to Mittagong. And then on Saturday, I had promised Graham Andrews that I would help hand out things for him at the election. And I saw lots of people from church, and I was there from about 7:30 in the morning until about 6 o'clock last night. Now, I thought I could do all these things, and it would be no problem because I wasn't preaching today. On Monday, Matthew came to church complaining of chest pain, so I had to take him to the hospital. Fortunately, his heart's fine. He's got congestion in lungs, is that right, Kathy? He had. And also very heavy dose of the flu, so please pray for him. But I thought, no problems, I'll just do all those things. But I haven't had a lot of time to prepare this talk. When I was driving for hours and hours, of course I couldn't prepare the sermon because I had to keep my eyes on the road. Yesterday, when I was handing out how to vote pamphlets, I couldn't prepare the sermon. But what I could do, in the times between there wasn't anybody coming at the election booth, when I was driving, I had a chance to spend a lot of time praying. When I was driving, praying with my eyes open, by the way. not that much of a step of faith, but I'd actually spending time thinking about the subject of prayer and actually spending time in prayer. And what a privilege it was to do that. Now, as we come to this topic of prayer, it's really valuable to do. We're doing our series on spiritual consistency. Last week, as George said, we looked at consistency in reading God's Word. I want to ask you, how have you been going? Some people said it really spurred them up to start reading the Bible more consistently. Hope you've been doing that. If you haven't, today's another day to start. Prayer and Bible reading actually go together. They are, of course, strongly linked. God communicates with his people as we read the Word. It's God communicating to us. Then we communicate with him as we pray. This is an act of conscious, reciprocal love. Our prayers should arise as we immerse ourselves in the Scriptures. Prayer can be basically defined as talking to God. We can do this silently in our heads. We can say prayers out loud. We can join with others in prayer as we meet in pairs or groups, of course, at our church services. The Bible everywhere rejoices in the Christian privilege of prayer. For Christians, prayer is like fresh air. For without it, we become weak and sickly, feeling cold and distant from the Lord God. Yet, we don't do it. We don't do it. And I'm sort of thinking, I'm speaking on prayer and yet I struggle with it. This sermon is as much to me as anybody here today. Our aim is to help us become more consistent in the spiritual discipline of prayer. It's easy, though, isn't it, to justify why we don't pray? We say we're too busy, we're too stressed, we get distracted by leisure, such as watching TV too much, using our smartphones too much, our tablets, our computers, etc., etc. But let us be reminded that prayer is a conversation with God, and what a privilege that is. We want to encourage people to see prayer in a different way. You know, when we think about prayer, often we think it's our duty, and it is. But I want to shift our focus from prayer being a duty to prayer being a delight. A delight. Prayer is spending time with the Creator of the universe, who is intimately interested in our prayers. Now, I've been reading a bit about prayer, and one writer I read said, failure to pray is a failure to treat God as God. Let me say that again. Failure to pray is a failure to treat God as God. The topic of prayer is a vast subject. Today, we're going to barely touch the surface of the subject of prayer. When I was doing my master's, one of the courses I did was a whole course for 6 months on prayer. So I had to read a whole lot of books on prayer and keep a prayer journal, etc., etc. Writers such as E.M. Bounds were very helpful. I read all his books. And if you know about him, there's a whole lot of books on prayer that he wrote. This week I've begun to read Tim Keller's book on prayer, which is very helpful and practical. My aim today is to motivate and encourage us all to delight in prayer more consistently. And as we pray more consistently, both our awe of God will increase and we will develop a greater intimacy with Him. It's because prayer is a personal encounter with God. Prayer helps our emotions to engage more directly with the God of the universe. I want us to see it as a privilege and a growing delight. Today, we're actually not going to just talk about prayer. We're actually going to do some prayer. It's more of a workshop on prayer than actually just a talk about prayer. So 3 times during the talk, we're going to pause and pray. As we do this, I want you to try and cleanse the mindless clutter from your mind and focus on God. It's a privilege to pray. The first thing I want us to focus on is actually a verse from Revelation, which, if you know the Anglican prayer book, it comes up in that. It's Revelation 4:11. I'm going to read it to us, and then I'm going to ask us to pray. I'm going to read it a phrase at a time. I'd like you in your heads to actually think about it and to praise God. It's sort of coming before God in a sense of adoration and praise. So let me read 4:11 and then I'll read it slowly. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Let me just give you an example of the first phrase and prayer that you could say. You are worthy, our Lord and God. In your head, you might say, praise you, God, for being worthy of praise. Praise you that you are the Creator. That sort of thing. Everybody understand? Let's spend a few minutes in prayer. You are worthy, our Lord and God. To receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things. And by your will they were created and have their being. sometimes good to use scripture like that and to pray through it slowly as we meditate on it, what I mentioned last week. Today we're going to look at the two prayers that we had in our Bible readings. One's by Jesus and one's by Paul. Looking at them, and I want us to think about these two concepts. Why should we pray? And also, how do we pray? Let's look at Matthew 6. So if you have your handout open, you'll have that. You'll see Jesus teaching about prayer. Do you notice, firstly, verse 5, it says, Jesus says, if you feel like praying, do this. Did he say that? No. He says, and when you pray. Prayer is not an optional extra for Christians. It's an integral part of our relationship with God. Jesus gives two examples of things that are not true prayer. Firstly, prayer that's done in other people's hearing with the purpose that they will think you're really religious. The Pharisees were guilty of this, as Jesus says in verse 5. That's not true prayer. Secondly, prayer that's mindlessly repetitious, verse 7. Chanting, putting yourself into a trance. Jesus calls this mindless babbling. Verbosity is a misuse of the very nature of prayer. It degrades it from a real and personal approach to God to mere recitation of words. Both models of prayer are wrong. What's the object of our prayer? It is the Lord God Almighty. Prayer is talking to God. It's not to be used to parade our spirituality. You know, I get chances as a minister to pray in public. Anzac Day, pray to the thousands of people. When I go to the council, lead the council meeting in prayer, which is a great privilege. At weddings and funerals and baptisms, I stand up and pray. And that's right and proper. However, when we have prayer meetings, you'd think, well, this actually might be a good tool for evangelism. Maybe, I noticed a sign out there, it talks about prayer today. Maybe we should have a group of people out there, sitting there with a big sign saying, we are praying for you, Mittagong, and just standing around, standing in a circle or sitting in a circle and praying. That would be showing off, wouldn't it? That's what Jesus is saying, don't do that. Because your focus is on praying to God. He says, do you notice in verse 6, go into the room and shut the door. If you remember the old version, it says go into the closet. When I was young, I used to think the water closet. It was a strange place to play in the bathroom, but anyway. But it says go somewhere private and pray, because the focus of your prayers is not for other people to see, because you're praying to God. And that's a good thing to do. I just want us to check about our own lives. Do we pray more at church, in groups, than we do individually? If so, then the focus of prayer may well be wrong. We pray not for others to see us praying and think we're spiritual, but we pray because we are wanting to develop our relationship with God. It's good to realize that when we pray, God is always listening. God is also responsive. One of the writers I read about prayer says, it's amazing. When I pray, coincidences happen. God responds to prayer, and he wants us to pray so that he can answer our prayers. He's encouraging us to persevere in individual prayer. Have a look at verse 6. Again, it says, when you, like verse 5, Jesus wants us to talk to God. If you're not spending time individually with God, you're missing out on a great blessing. Let me encourage you to get back into the habit, or commence the habit, of regular praying if you're not already doing so. Spend time individually with God each day. Helpful to set aside a time to read the Bible and to pray. And you might ask though, well, what do we pray for? Well, we're in luck, because Jesus actually gives us the model of how to pray. Notice, look at verse 9. It says, this then, says the Master, says the Lord Jesus Christ, is how you should pray. Another translation is, pray then like this. Now, the Lord's Prayer is not the only prayer that we can pray. We do not always have to use it when we pray. It's primarily a model for prayer. We can learn lots about prayer by looking at it. But of course, it's great to pray, and we prayed it today in our service. Do you notice there are two sections? There's verses 9 and 10, and then 11 to 13. The first section, verses 9 to 10, is addressing God and his needs. And the second is praying about ourselves and our needs. Firstly to God, then secondly about ourselves. I guess this raises a challenge. Do we spend half our time in prayer praising God for who he is and for his kingdom to come? There's a temptation in there just to jump to our needs. Some observations about this prayer. How do we address God? Well, he's our Father. God's personal, he relates to us and we to him. We should appreciate the tremendous privilege of being in a relationship with him. Then we pray that God's name be hallowed. It should be treated as holy. We're praying that due honour be given to God's name in our lives and throughout the world. Your kingdom come. To pray that his kingdom may come is to pray two things. First is to pray that the number of believers will grow. As through the church's witness, people come into a personal relationship with Jesus. Secondly, it's to pray that his kingdom will be consummated when Jesus returns in glory to take his power and reign. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Jesus bids us to pray that life on earth may come to approximate more nearly life in heaven. We're praying that more and more people will do his will here on earth. When we pray this prayer, and also prayers based on this model, we're minded our top priority is not our own name, our kingdom, and our will, but God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will. And make sure we give enough time to praising and adoring God. Then in the second half, verses 11 to 13, the focus changes from, do you notice, your to our. We turn from God's affairs to our own. Having expressed our burning concern for his glory, we now express our humble dependence upon him, upon his grace. So firstly we get, give us our daily bread. Expression of our humble dependence upon God. We're to acknowledge this on a daily basis. Forgive us our debts or sins as we've forgiven our debtors. When God forgives sins, he remits the penalty and drops the charge against us. His forgiveness is made possible through the death of Jesus upon the cross, who pays the penalty for our sins. We're going to confess our sins, just like we did earlier in the service. It's a good thing to do. I reckon each service should contain a creed, statement of faith, but also good to say the Lord's Prayer regularly, good to confess our sins regularly. So George, you did well today. 3 out of 3, well done. It's interesting that Jesus is directing us to ask for forgiveness regularly. We have to confess our sins, and it means that we have an ongoing dependence upon God's grace. And then it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The devil here, the evil one, the devil here is on view. The devil who tempts people to sin and from whom we need to be rescued. The three petitions which Jesus puts upon our lips are beautifully comprehensive. They cover all our human needs. Material, give us our daily bread. Spiritual, forgiveness of sins. And moral, deliverance from evil. They're expressing our dependence upon God in every area of human life. Now let's use the Lord's Prayer. Firstly, as a wonderfully comprehensive prayer in its own right. Secondly, as a model and guide to help us work out the structures of our own prayers. What we're going to do is we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. But we're going to do it this way. I'm going to use the same form of words that were on the screen before. But I'm going to say a line and then get you to repeat the line. And then have a pause while we actually, in our minds, add to that prayer and think about what does it mean. So using it as a model. Everybody understand that? I hope it's not too complicated. I'll say it, then you say it back to me. 8 o'clock, we're a bit slow to get onto this, so just see if you can do it better than 8 o'clock. So as soon as I say it, repeat it back to me, and then a pause, then I'll do the next line. Okay, let's come to the Lord again in prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Can I encourage you to use prayers already written and expand them as a spiritual discipline? It's a great thing to do. We've already seen in the Lord's Prayer that we should praise, thank, and honour God. We should confess our sins. Now, people have used the acronym ACTS as a helpful way of thinking about different types of prayer. I'm sure you know it. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Praise God, confessing our sins, giving thanks to God, and supplication, asking God for things. A way of understanding this is a slightly different perspective, but it's the threefold focus of our prayers. Firstly, there's upward. We're to praise God and give thanks to Him. Praise, praise, adore Him. The first half of the Lord's Prayer. Secondly, it's inward. We're to examine our lives and confess our sins. And thirdly, it's outward. Asking God to work about matters in our lives and in our world. Upward, inward, and outward. Let's think about things that often people pray for. Things such as good health, recovery from illness, safety in travelling, getting a good job, success in exams, the emotional needs of ourselves and our children, etc., etc. While these things are not wrong to pray for, let us remember that the Bible should be setting the agenda in our prayers. And when we look at the prayer of Paul and the prayer in the Colossians passage and other passages, it seems that he has a different priority, doesn't he? Let's turn to the front of our handout and look at Colossians chapter 1. In the first paragraph, Paul's focus is praising God, giving thanks for his work in the world and amongst the Colossian Christians. Paul had never met the Colossians, but heard about them from Epaphras, who had shared the gospel with the Colossians. Now, in chapter 4, verse 12 of Colossians, Paul says Epaphras is always wrestling in prayer for the Colossians. Another translation could be he is striving for the prize, or he is struggling. Prayer does require effort. It's a delight, but we have to put the effort in. But it does reap rich rewards. Let's now look at verses 9 to 13, this is the second paragraph, to see what kind of things does Paul pray for the Colossians. And that will give us things that we're to pray for ourselves and for others. Let me go through it quickly. In verse 9, Paul says he wants the Colossians to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. He prays this in this prayer and other prayers in his letters. He desires that the Colossians be growing in their knowledge about God and their love for him. We see this in verse 10 where he explains the purpose of the prayer, that they will live lives worthy of the Lord, pleasing to God. And such a life is utterly impossible unless there is a growing understanding of and spiritual grasp of what God's will is. Then Paul goes on to outline the concrete characteristics of Christians who live this way. Verse 10, they'll be bearing fruit in every good work and also growing in their knowledge of God. Verse 11 says, they'll be strengthened in God's power so they exhibit great endurance and patience in their faith. This will lead verse 12, do you notice? To joyfully giving thanks to God for our astonishing salvation. And then in verse 13, Paul says, I want you to focus on the source of our salvation, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those sort of things are different from often what we pray for, isn't it? But it's Paul's priorities. I think it's wise for us to copy them. I'm going to pray this prayer based on these words. And when I do that, I'm going to pause after I've prayed each sort of section, and I'm going to get you to actually think in your minds about what I've been praying. I'm going to be praying for all of us, but then I'd like you to pray specifically for two or three people that you can see that are sitting round about here. You may not even know their names. Just think of two or three. Everybody then should be covered, we hope. Okay? When I pause, you might like to actually pray in your head for these things to be present in those two or three people's lives. Everybody understand? So we're going to pray for this. I'm just going to be the one speaking out aloud. You're going to be the one praying to God. Or all of us are going to be ones praying to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may you fill us all with the knowledge of your will. Through your Spirit, give us greater wisdom and understanding. And Lord, help us then to live lives worthy of you. May we bear fruit in every good work and grow in our knowledge of you. Lord, strengthen us to have great endurance and patience. And Lord, we give joyful thanks to you for the inheritance you've given to us, your people. And we praise you for sending your Son Jesus to die for us and enable our sins to be forgiven. Amen. Let me just finish with some practical tips on prayer. Some people knew that my life got very complicated this week, and a number of people said they were praying for me. Thank you. Keep praying for each other. And I thank you for those. I know some people pray for me regularly, and I really appreciate it. Let me encourage us to pray regularly for each other. Let me encourage us to develop good habits in prayer. As we read the Bible, before we pray, read the Bible, pray. Afterwards, pray. For some people, it's helpful to actually write their prayers out. Use prayer diaries to pray for God's work around the world. Missionary societies will love to send them to you. On the back of our Mac update, Coralie each week puts prayer points from our Link missionaries and also things about our church. Don't just take it home and throw it in the bin. Use it. Keep it in your Bible to pray during the week for these prayer points that Coralie has so carefully prepared. I want to encourage us to pray in groups. It's so important. I said on Friday night I came home from Parks through Sydney because I had to meet Marge and we were meeting with a group of friends. These are people that we went through Moore College with, and we meet a few times a year to catch up with each other but also to pray for each other in our ministries. Good to be in prayer groups with people and pray together. Can I encourage us to read books on prayer? The one by Tim Keller, simply called Prayer, is really good and practical. But there's so many. There's endless books on prayer. And above all, look to the Bible for teaching on prayer. It forms our content, the Lord's Prayer, Paul's Prayer, the Colossians. Our aim is to be more consistent in the spiritual discipline of prayer. So to conclude, let's pray about that now. And after we've done that, Coralie's going to come and lead us in a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, we confess that maybe we don't make prayer enough of a priority in our lives. May you use today as a motivation to help us to become more spiritually consistent in our prayer life. Help us to prioritize this and spend time every day reading your word and praying. Help us look for opportunities to pray with others. Help us to pray through prayers in the Bible like we've done today. And help us to have the focus that we're praying to you and what a privilege that is. May prayer become less of a duty and more of a delight.